Hello, and welcome to the April IASB Update Podcast. My name is Neely Shaw, and I am the Executive Technical Director at the IASB. Today, I'm joined by Andreas Barco, Chair of the IASB, and we're here to share with you highlights from our April IASB meetings. So, Andreas, we've had a busy week. First on my list is the agenda consultation. And just as a reminder to our stakeholders, the agenda consultation is a process that the IASB undertakes every 5 years to set its priorities for the next 5 years. So in this case, from 2022 to 2026. In April, the IASB decided which technical accounting projects to add to its work plan. Could you go through what the board decided?
With pleasure. Good morning, Nelly. The board decided to add three projects. The first is accounting for climate-related risks in the financial statements. In that project, we would investigate the underlying causes of matters raised by respondents and consider whether any narrow scope actions might be needed. Any work we would do would not involve the creation of requirements specific to accounting for climate-related risks in the financial statements, because that would be inconsistent with our principle-based set of standards. Or put differently, it would be climate today, it would be biodiversity tomorrow, and it would be gender the day thereafter. So we would constantly amend our standard, which is really not in line with principle-based standards. We expect to work closely with our colleagues at the International Sustainability Standards Board on any work that we do here. You will recall that they've just issued two exposure drafts, one of which being related to climate reporting. The second of our projects is intangible assets. Here, the view is to have a comprehensive review of our intangible asset standard, IAS 38, which is almost 20 years old and has never been put up for reconsideration. The project would start with research to determine the scope of the project and how to sequence possible stages for such a project. Like the project on climate-related risks in the financial statements, we expect to work closely with our colleagues at the ISSB on this project. Probably not in all phases, but it's pretty evident that there is some overlap in the topical arena. And for these, obviously, we would work very much in conjunction with our friends at the ISSB. The third project would be the statement of cash flows and related matters. We would initially consider the scope of the project as either a comprehensive review of the statement of cash flow standard, IAS 7, which is even older than IAS 38, as you would tell by the number, or make more targeted improvements. In addition to these three projects, the board decided to create a reserve list of projects that could be added to the work plan if additional capacity becomes available. For example, if current projects are completed sooner than expected. We all have dreams. These projects include operating segments. Here we research the underlying causes of users' concerns about granularity of segment information and consider the feasibility of potential solutions that could be implemented without reconsidering the use of the management approach to determine operating segments. And a second one would be pollutant pricing mechanisms, where we would consider whether to address all types of polluting pricing mechanisms or only some, such as emission trading schemes. We would also consider the accounting by traders and scheme administrators, as well as scheme participants.
Thanks, Andreas. I have to say, I'm really excited about these projects. I think there's an interesting list here, and they will certainly advance the ball of financial reporting. But I do have to remind myself, and it's probably worth noting to stakeholders as well, that it may be a little bit before these projects are discussed at the board table, because consistent with our stakeholder feedback, we are prioritizing progress on the projects that the board currently has on its work plan. So stay tuned for more on those projects, and then give us a little bit of time before these projects start making their way to the board table. So Andreas, what's next in terms of the IASB's third agenda consultation?
We are almost done. The April meeting concluded the decision-making on the IASB's third agenda consultation. The next and final step is to publish a feedback statement, likely in July. This has been an involved process, and although we can't do all the important work that our stakeholders would like, just to remember everyone what I said last month, that the long list had more than 70 suggestions for projects that our stakeholders flagged to us, We very much appreciate everyone's thoughtful feedback to help with these difficult prioritization decisions.
Thank you. So that's the agenda consultation. Moving on to our next topic is management commentary. We had discussions on this project, and again, just as a reminder, it seeks to develop a comprehensive framework that would enable companies to disclose the information that investors need to better understand a company's financial statements and to gain insight into factors that could affect the company's ability to create value and generate cash flows across all time horizons, including in the long term. So, similar to the March meeting, in April, the IASB discussed the feedback that it received on its exposure draft, but was not asked to make any decisions. And some of the important points that were discussed in the feedback include, first, that there is overall broad support for the proposals in the ED, and in particular, investors confirmed that the board correctly identified the information that they need. Feedback also did note, though, that there have been several important developments since the exposure draft was published. Most significantly, as everyone's aware, the IFRS Foundation created the ISSB. And many stakeholders asked the board to work together with the ISSB in developing the new framework for management commentary. In terms of next steps, the board will consider the stakeholder feedback in the context of this evolving landscape and decide where to go next. Moving on from there to our next project, we continued discussions on the post-implementation review of the classification and measurement requirements in IFRS 9. In particular, we further discussed feedback on the request for information. And in April, the board heard initial discussion of the requirements for assessing the cash flow, the characteristics of a financial asset's contractual cash flows. Andreas, can you share a little bit more about what the board focused on with this topic?
Absolutely. The board heard preliminary views on two main topics raised in the feedback, being contractually linked instruments and financial instruments with ESG-linked features. On contractually linked instruments, we'll consider how to clarify the requirements for the scope and application guidance for non-recourse financial assets and contractually linked instruments. On financial instruments with ESG-linked features, the question was whether to introduce application guidance that would help with the consistent application of the SPPI assessment to financial instruments, including those with ESG-linked features. Now, the board did not make any decisions, but board members generally indicated support for providing application guidance to clarify the contractual cash flow characteristics assessment in IFRS 9, which would help with financial assets with ESG-linked features and contractually linked instruments. The board will discuss these topics further at its May meeting, so stay tuned. The board also considered six application questions about contractual cash flow characteristics raised in the feedback. The board decided to wrap two of those questions up with other topics it will be looking at. It decided to do some outreach with our ASAF, the Accounting Standards Advisory Forum, and the Interpretations Committee's members to find out more about two of the other questions and not to take further action on the two remaining questions.
Okay, so still a lot to go on this project. Moving on to an oldie but a goodie, primary financial statements. I think this one's a little bit of a standing item on our agenda as we continue deliberating some of the meaty issues from the exposure draft. And again, just as a reminder, the Primary Financial Statements Project seeks to improve how information is communicated in the financial statements with a focus on the statement of profit or loss. And the primary focus here is on comparability through proposals to improve the structure of the statement of profit or loss and transparency with proposals to improve disaggregation. And it was on disaggregation that the IASB focused on in April. In particular, the board discussed feedback on its exposure draft relating to the analysis of operating expenses in the notes when a company presents operating expenses by function in the statement of profit or loss. In this situation, the IASB's exposure draft proposed to require an analysis of total operating expenses by nature in the notes. However, feedback on the exposure draft raised some concerns about the cost of this proposal. So the IASB had directed the staff to perform additional research on the costs and benefits of a partial matrix approach. And so in April, the board discussed two alternatives the staff developed in its research. One partial matrix alternative is where a company could disaggregate specified nature expenses by function. So for example, breaking down depreciation, amortization, and employee benefits by functional line items that they have been allocated to. And the other alternative is one where a company would disaggregate each functional line item into nature expenses. So for example, starting with cost of sales and breaking that out by depreciation, employee benefits, materials, and so forth. Now, the board didn't make any decisions, but it will consider this topic at a future meeting. Moving on to another topic, Andreas, can you take us through the goodwill and impairment discussions?
Sure. The Goodwill and Impairment Project came back to the board table this month to discuss disclosures. As a reminder, the project is looking to improve, at a reasonable cost, the information entities disclose about business combinations. The project covers a number of topics, and this month, the board focused on disclosures. Although the board did not make any decisions, it discussed the staff's research on information currently disclosed by companies and outreach with stakeholders on disclosure examples developed by the staff. The outcome of that was that users are united in saying better information about business combinations is needed, and that the information that would be disclosed applying the preliminary views would be useful in meeting that need. Preparers, on the other hand, raised practical concerns, most particularly about the commercial sensitivity of the information disclosed, but also about litigation risk associated with including forward-looking information in the financial statements, disclosing information about acquired businesses that have been integrated into an existing business, and difficulty or costly audits. Given the significant preparer concerns, it will likely not be appropriate to move forward with a preliminary view without amending it in some form. So much of the discussion focused on two ideas: whether it is possible to reduce the burden on preparers by requiring information for only a subset of business combinations that companies currently provide information about in financial statements, so reduce the number of transactions. The second being exempting entities from disclosing particular bits of information in specific circumstances. So this is targeting the amount of information that would be needed. Those entities will instead need to explain why that information was not disclosed. The board will next hear about the staff's research about specific areas of the feedback on the subsequent accounting for goodwill. That is the question about reintroduction of goodwill amortization. After that, the board will make decisions about the package of disclosure requirements about business combinations and whether to maintain its preliminary view to retain the impairment-only approach to the subsequent accounting for goodwill.
Thanks, Andreas. The board certainly has some really difficult decisions to make over the summer, so stay tuned for that.
You bet.
Moving on to our next project, equity method accounting. The ISB discussed this project in April, and as a reminder, the Equity Method Project is a research project, so it's still in its early stages, and the purpose is to assess if application questions on the equity method can be addressed by identifying and explaining the principles that underlie IAS 28. This month, the ISB discussed the application question of how an investor should account for the purchase of an additional interest in an associate without a change in the status of that investment, so without a change in its significant influence. To address this application question, the ISB first considered how to measure the cost of an investment when the investor obtains significant influence. And here the ISB decided to consult on measuring the cost of the investment as the fair value of the consideration transferred, including the fair value of any previously held interest in the investee on the date that the investor obtains significant influence. So then moving on to the question about how to account for a purchase of an additional interest when the investor has significant influence and that additional interest does not change its significant influence. And the ISB considered three approaches to addressing this question. At the end of the discussion, the ISB asked the staff to proceed in future analyses with this preferred approach in which an investor would measure the investment in an associate as an accumulation of purchases. The IASB at this meeting also considered research findings on changes made to IFRS accounting standards from the conceptual framework, business combinations, and joint arrangement projects. And this research will help the board as it addresses application questions in future meetings.
Okay, shall I then take on with the disclosure initiative and what we heard about subsidiaries without public accountability, Nelly?
Yep, perfect.
Okay, so we also discussed feedback on the IASB's exposure draft. The project seeks to potentially reduce disclosures for companies that do not have public accountability. Some highlights from the feedback include that most respondents agreed with the objective of the draft standard to reduce the cost and complexity of financial reporting. However, there were mixed views on the scope and the structure of the draft standard. We received many comments on the specific disclosures, and we are looking forward to moving forward on this project. The next discussion will cover the main issues relating to the scope of the proposed standard, together with a discussion on the scope of the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard. Over to you, Nelly.
Thank you. And last but not least, the IASB discussed its IFRS for SME standard. I think everyone knows that the IASB periodically does a comprehensive review of this standard, and it is approaching its final decisions towards developing an exposure draft that is expected to be published in the third quarter with some proposals to update the standard. In April, the IASB continued its discussion from last month on disclosure requirements. Specifically, the IASB decided to propose amendments to 16 sections of the current standard based on the application principles it had agreed to in March for updating disclosure requirements in the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard. So that wraps up disclosures. And then in the coming months, the team will conclude with final discussions to get permission to start the balloting process and move forward with drafting the exposure draft.
Excellent. We're looking forward to that, Nelly. So the last bit that we then had on our agenda for April was an update on the IFRS Interpretations Committee's meeting in March. We received a brief update on the respective items that the committee discussed. And we also did not object to the committee's agenda decision about demand deposits with restrictions on use arising from a contract with a third party. And that's about all.
Thanks, Andreas. So before we conclude this podcast, we just wanted to share a few reminders. The first is that the IFRS Foundation Conference is on the 23rd and 24th of June in London, or you may participate virtually, and there's more information on our website. Overall, the foundation is a great opportunity to hear IASB members directly discuss projects, as well as learn more about the newly created ISSB and the important work that they are doing on sustainability disclosures. So hopefully we'll see as many of you as possible at that conference. And then you can also catch up on previous episodes of this and the IFRS Interpretations Committee podcasts on our website and on our YouTube channel and Spotify. For the latest developments in our work, make sure to subscribe to our website. If you like this podcast, please do take some time to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast player. And remember to tune in next month. Thank you, everyone.